Yeah, Van Świetkowski in the studio here is looking through to find out about the fact that I think that the RBA have frozen the interest rate rise. Is that how you refer to it?
Yes. Well, they've kept rates on hold.
On hold, that's the word.
Yeah, and what I quickly just read was they're waiting for more data. And my read into that situation is, without digging any further on any news, I think they're looking at the East Coast housing market, which is stuck in reverse at the moment, and they're probably thinking, well, do I want to hike into that? If it gets worse, I'll be embarrassing myself later when I reverse the decision, potentially.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. I mean, okay, I'm not too sure why that happened over the East Estates. Was there a glut or something?
Oh, look, I think just prices have gone up quickly, and then the budget rules on negative gearing and capital gains has taken some confidence out of the market, and they have more supply than we do here in Perth.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, a bit of an oversupply. And I was wondering why it hasn't affected the other states, the drop in housing prices.
Yep. Yeah, look, every market is its own market.
Oh, it's different, okay.
Yeah, it's different. Whilst it, you know, the national feeling does drive things, yeah. Markets have their own geography.
Okay, so we're doing okay here at the moment as far as sales go, and yep. It will continue to do so. Is it because we are economically a bit better off here in WA, do you think, or not? It doesn't feel like it.
Oh, I think it's just a combination of we've still got net migration into WA, and we have a lack of new building capacity. So a lot of builders have gone bankrupt in WA. You know, it takes a long time to build a house in WA.
Sure does, yeah.
So supply is not coming on board as quickly as people would like. In saying that, there is more houses for sale today than there was, you know, a few months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's about 6,500, okay. Which, you know, if you go back 2 or 3 months, it's probably 4,000.
Maybe people are thinking it may well come here where the prices will drop, so we'll push it now.
Yeah, look, potentially there might be a bit of that. People thinking, I'll cash out now, unless, you know, just keeping an eye on Sydney and Melbourne and saying, look, whilst it's still strong here, maybe next year it starts cooling off.
Mm. We need more tradesmen, don't we?
Absolutely.
Mm. Can you do anything?
I am not handy at all, figuratively and literally right now.
Yes, yeah, still wrapped up like a puppet.
Yes.
Not quite as bad, but you're just about to bend. Yep. And we won't ask what you did to get that injury, but no. It was a break on the finger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you know what it's like. Now, what the heck is ETF?
Yes, an ETF is an exchange-traded fund. It's a question I still get asked a lot, and I do see it out there in the media too, so I think there's a lot of confusion.
Well, it is. I don't even, as if I'd know anyway, but tell us what it is.
Yeah, so an ETF, or an exchange-traded fund, is a basket of investments that you can buy as a single share on the stock exchange or stock market.
Like going to the supermarket.
Yes, so it's like buying, you know, you go on the stock exchange and you go, well, I want to buy some BHP. You just go and buy BHP shares as a single share. To use your supermarket analogy, you're buying an apple when you buy a BHP.
Okay.
You buy some Wesfarmers, you're buying a banana. When you buy an ETF, you're buying a fruit basket.
Yeah, it goes in the basket.
It's got BHP in it, Wesfarmers, maybe 200 other stocks. So it's a basket of stocks that trades as a single entity or stock on the stock exchange.
Wouldn't they, all the different ones that you've invested in, go up and down at different times?
Yep, it does. So the ETF has its own price based on the movements of the stocks that it owns in that ETF.
Okay.
So, you know, you buy one share of the ETF and you basically get, you know, whatever is owned by that ETF. The easiest way to think about it is the oldest ETF on the Australian Stock Exchange is a ETF that buys the top 200 companies in order of size, a.k.a. the Australian stock market. That's all we're really talking about. And okay. The ETF just replicates it.
So ETF, they put the package together of stock without you asking for a particular stock.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And is there a valued limit on it?
No. It's you can the price goes up and down according to the companies in it at a weighted average.
What about when you buy the package?
Yep.
Is there a set price or?
Yeah, there is, because it trades just like BHP shares. So BHP shares today might be $62. And the ETF could be trading at a set price depending on how many shares are out there. So, you know, it's like I'd call it like a, you know, to use your grocery analogy, which I quite like now.
Thank you. You can use it any time.
Look at that. Think of it like a pre-packed hamper.
Yeah.
You know, one purchase, lots of stuff inside.
That'd be quite interesting. Has it always been available?
No, look, it hasn't. You know, these things are... They became popular, you know, probably a quarter of a century ago. Not popular, but, you know, 20, 30 years ago. I couldn't tell you exactly when they came online, but someone thought it up and thought, this is a really good idea. And unlike a mutual fund or a managed fund, we call it, it trades on the stock exchange. It's not private.
Okay. All right. People that invest know. Who would this be most suitable for? The average punter? Or somebody that's got a fair bit of money
involved. That's the good part.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
This is really attractive to a young person who's looking to park some money, some savings, long-term grow it. It's also attractive to an investor that's very sophisticated and just wants exposure to certain markets without having to drill down too deep in those markets.
Could you buy more than one package?
Absolutely. There's all sorts of ETFs. So, you know, these things, Jenny, they first started like pretty vanilla. So it was, you know, you go and buy an ETF that buys the US stock market. So you just get the top 500 companies in the US in order of size. Now you can buy ETFs that have themes. So if you like stocks that are AI stocks,
gotcha,
you'll buy one that just buys a bunch of AI stocks.
I understand. Mm. Is there a limit on how many you will get in the basket?
I mean, look, it depends what they're trying to replicate.
It depends on what you pay?
No, it depends. No. It depends what the ETF, how the ETF is designed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So how do people go about choosing
an ETF?
Yeah.
Oh, look, with everything financial advice, I always say, let's bring it back with, why am I doing this? Not which ETF first, what am I trying to do?
Well, they're listening to you.
Yeah, what is my objective? You know, am I looking at... What's my goal?
Well, they want to make more money.
Yeah, but do I want income or do I want growth?
Oh, I see.
How much risk am I willing to take?
Yeah.
So if you want long-term growth and you're sitting there going, well, I want something that's going to grow and then I can add money to and I'm going to touch it in 10 or 20 years, you don't really need income. You're not focused on income. You might buy a ETF that focuses on technology companies because they grow.
So we've got money sitting somewhere... Or you've sold an investment,
mm-hmm,
and you could afford to put it in. Can you draw down super at a certain age to go into this?
Well, no, you would. This is the thing. You wouldn't draw out of your super.
Okay.
You buy ETFs inside of your super.
On behalf of you?
Yes, on behalf of inside of super. Let's say you've got a self-managed super fund. A lot of people who manage their own super, they buy ETFs as part of their strategy.
They have a choice with their super fund to do
that. That's right, yeah.
And instruct them
yep.
to buy into it.
Yep.
Oh, okay, gosh.
Yeah, so a lot of, and you can, it's not just shares, you can also buy bonds. There's bonds that are packaged up as exchange-traded funds.
I was talking to someone on the air earlier about the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And why do some people have better brains than others? And to know all of this, congratulations, I think your brain's in the top lot. No, that is incredible. It's, we've got to break down, I suppose, for younger people to be comfortable with terminologies and that sort mm-hmm. of thing in finance.
You'd be surprised, younger people, the under 30 cohort, they have a really good grasp of what
really?
ETFs are. Yeah, a lot of them invest in Vanguard, which is an ETF provider. So they invest in Vanguard funds. They actually have a very good handle on a lot of this stuff.
Are they taught anything about future finance when they're being educated?
Look, I would say in high school, I don't...
Be a good idea.
I'm just thinking back when I was in high school. You don't really learn a lot of practical things.
No, that's what I'm getting at.
You learn, you know, economics and accounting. And economics is, to me, I've got an economics degree and I find it quite abstract.
Have you ever used it?
Well,
I suppose you would with economics.
Kind of.
Finance.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Adjacent to what I do.
Yeah.
I would think that a topic in school should just be personal finance.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, what is superannuation?
Life
how does how does tax work?
Yeah, I agree.
What happens when you get paid? How does super work? All that, just real simple, basic stuff.
You're absolutely right. You should approach these secondary schools and say that you're available to lecture.
I don't know about that.
No, it is common sense learning of life in the future, and things change so quickly, don't they, with everything?
They do, and this is basic stuff. How does interest work? How do bank accounts work? How does the stock market work? You know, show them some history of the stock market.
Yeah,
Rather than, you know, learning these really abstract type things that most of them won't use. It's, I almost think of it like, what are the old courses they used to do? Home economics, when you're in the kitchen.
I did that.
There you go.
A little billy can had a stew in it.
This is like that, but for your for your finances.
Because things have changed. Back then, that was quite common. But what I did learn was shorthand. Do you think I've ever used shorthand?
Probably not.
No, well, of course, it's changed. You don't use shorthand anymore. But even so, at the time, it was asked of if you had a job in an office. So I'm just saying education has changed, but they should go a little bit further.
Yeah, look, I think
they should definitely.
I think it's a small thing. You wouldn't need too much time during the week.
No. Anyway, good on you. Now, what are the biggest providers?
So the biggest providers, we touched on one, Vanguard Australia. So that's one of the largest. BlackRock, and they're... Their ETF brand trades under the moniker iShares. There's BetaShares. So BetaShares is an Australian one. That's homegrown. They got a very broad range of ETFs and different types of products. There's one called State Street. So they're actually the issuer of, I think, the first ETF in Australia, I'm pretty sure. And there's another one called VanEck. So there's quite a lot of them.
There are, aren't there? Quite a hidden thing.
And that shows the popularity that they've gained.
Maybe more so in the future.
Yep.
What is your suggestion then if people listening at the moment want to sort of look further into this? Do they contact their super fund and ask them about it?
I would just do some research on the internet.
Okay.
Look at these ETFs. Look at the underlying holdings. Because if you go onto these websites of these ETF providers...
Yep.
It will show you the long-term performance of these ETFs. It'll show you how much they charge. And one of the reasons, you know, these ETFs are popular because they're cheap.
Okay, give us an idea.
For example, there is one that tracks the top 300 shares in Australia. I believe that charges $15 for every $10,000 you have invested in it.
Oh, gosh, that sounds expensive.
So two coffees per annum for $10,000.
It's better than backing a horse.
Yeah. And it is better than backing a horse
because
your odds of making money in the long term are actually very, very sound.
$15 for every $10,000.
That's right. So if you've got $10,000 in it, they take $15. Or put another way, if that ETF returns 10% for the year, you get 9.85%.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. So they're very cheap. So that's one of the reasons they're popular. You know, the other reason we've kind of spoken about, all your eggs are not in one basket. You know, you've got instant diversification in an ETF.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah,
there's so
absolutely.
Many options out there. I mean, you cover quite a lot of them. This is a good one, it sounds.
Yeah, look, it's definitely a way to park some surplus cash.
Yes, if you've got it.
Yes, I like surplus cash.
At the moment, I doubt many people have.
Is there such a thing as surplus cash?
I don't know. Some people have it. That's for sure. That's good. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay, and if people want information, they can get in touch with you at the Knight Group, can't they?
Absolutely. Give us a call.
Good on you, Jovan. Keep exercising that hand there.
Thank you, Jenny.
Okay, and stop exercising. It's bad for you.
No.
Okay. Bye
Thank
for
you.
Now.